Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Travis Johnson, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Hey, gang, we're still waiting for George Carl. We thought we had him, and
man,
we lost
George
him.
George Carl ain't coming, man. So, bump George Carl.
Yeah, maybe he got too much tired of getting the firing squad of people that want his butt on a platter. But anyway, before we get to George Carl and a whole lot more, I want to take a little bit of time right now to just tell you guys about the Houston Can Cars for Kids program. It's a phenomenal program. I tell you and preach about it all the time that it's something that you guys should do. If you got a vehicle that's not working anymore and it's just sitting around in a garage, back in the field, in the driveway, somewhere just collecting rust and dust and you don't know what to do with it, I got a great idea. Get in touch with Houston Can's Cars for Kids program. It's a phenomenal program that gives a second chance for kids to get an education that might not have done the right thing with the first opportunity. And basically, all they do is come to you and make miracles happen. What I mean by that is you call them and tell them, I got a boat, an RV, a motorcycle, a truck, a car, a trailer. It's not running, or even if it is, but you just want to get rid of it. They take care of the rest. They do the paperwork. They come and see you. They tow it away. And best yet, they give you a tax deduction, which is just like selling it outright on Craigslist or somewhere else. And then what's even more spectacular is when I say make miracles happen, they then turn around that vehicle and they turn it into financing that can help provide reading glasses, books, warm meals, anything that can help as resources to get these children a quality education in the Houston area. Right off the top, you mentioned ESPN 97.5. They're going to make sure they give you a $50 gift card. And I'm telling you right now, you will feel good about yourself if you make a donation that can make a difference in a child's life here in Houston, Texas. All you got to do, pick up the phone, 713-225-4226, or get on to HoustonCarsForKids.com. And remember, right off the car, not the kid. So we're waiting on George Carl.
He ain't coming, man. If I could say, if this was six satellite radio, you know what I'd say?
Yeah.
F George Carl.
Well, you already said it to the Goodwill people.
Yeah, but end of the day, don't waste our time, man. Joe did a wonderful job today. We got questions set up for him. We got stuff set up. But now all of a sudden, you want to flake on Houston?
Yeah.
Like we don't gang bang on breakfast too. You want to go everywhere else, and you know what I'm saying? Like, no, don't ask.
Did you quote the great Cat Williams?
Yeah, exactly. You want to gang bang on breakfast, dear Lord?
That was hilarious.
Thank you for this bacon.
I mean, that's the thing, but, man. I mean, I don't want to be like everybody else, and I know my man's trying to sell books, and that's probably why he came out and pretty much
sell these.
I mean, he pretty much rode the bus over everybody that ever helped pave the way for him to get where he got in life. From a professional standpoint,
man, and you just said that too.
What's that?
Does the Thunder look soft for not defending Westbrook?
Yeah, so let's get to that in the meantime. So last night,
yeah, like we said, second, bump George Carl. We're gonna talk about Westbrook.
Second of two games between Oklahoma City and Kevin Durant's old team, the Thunder, and his new team, the Golden State Warriors. Wasn't much of a game, but the game within the game, it was physical. Westbrook basically made it known in the game and after the game he didn't want any of his teammates talking to Kevin Durant. He's not talking to Kevin Durant. They asked him, are you speaking? He said no. So there is some ill will there. So in the process, first half of the game, and Dzadzia Pachulia sets a high screen. Westbrook kind of didn't see it coming, but then he did. But he took a head and shoulders blow and went down, and I'm not sure how much of it was acting or not, but he went down, rolled over, and was wincing. And Dzadzia Pachulia, who set the screen, actually stepped over him as if to say a message. Well, Russell had a message after the game.
I'll get it to you for you in just one second.
Okay.
Yeah, well, I mean.
So we get to the point that I made in the break.
But Russell also said he didn't want his teammates talking to the guy. Like, don't talk to his, I can say the B word, and I can say the A word, right?
Well. Pretty much, no. Everybody knows. Yeah, he anyways, yeah, go ahead.
He said, "Don't talk to this bitch ass." Like, who says that?
And what was great was it was right in the middle of the fact that it was on the broadcast for Oklahoma City.
Yeah,
and you can hear while they're trying to wrap up the broadcast behind, you can hear Russell Westbrook yelling at his teammates, "Don't talk to his bitch ass." Like,
dang, that's some fighting words, man.
Well, so if you thought those were fighting words. I mean, when he got to the post-game press conference and someone had the audacity, you know, and Russ is a little bit salty anyway, and he's even more crotchety when they lose, right? So, and he doesn't like to talk to the media as it is.
That's a great word, crotchety. Yes, I like that. I love that word. Yeah.
So, at the same time, you got all those factors and variables playing in, And then someone who I dare say tiptoed into this question, as you'll hear, asked him about the incident with Pachulia.
From your vantage point, what happened on the flagrant with Pachulia at the end of the first half?
I don't know. He hit me on the heart, but sorry, I'm going to get his ass back. Straight up.
Did you notice him standing over the top of you?
No, I didn't see that just now, but I don't play that game. I'm going to get his ass back. So whenever that is, I don't know when it's going to be, but I don't play that game.
Is he getting fined for this, Joel?
I don't think so. I mean,
that's not something that's fineable, right?
He's not referring to the officials in any way.
Right.
He's not saying that it was a bad call. You know, the league may intervene in a private way, trying to just diffuse the situation. But I think overall it's not something that should warrant a fine. But I kind of like it. But my point to Travis in the break and to you, Nick, earlier, and something that I wanted to bring up on the air was, if you go back and look at the video, you can find the video anywhere. But if you go back and look at the video, the problem I got is Pachulia, and it's not like a Kevin McHale, Kurt Rambis type
situation, right?
But Pachulia looks like he's got a little extra intent on the screen.
Right.
Westbrook goes down. Pachulia stands over him. There's plenty of Thunder players around the play. Not one guy goes to his defense, or as we've seen as recently as that Sienna Ryder game the other night where teammates come to the rescue of their teammates. I'm telling you right now, Enes Kanter is within two big giant steps of Zsa Pachulia. Doesn't even approach him, push him, shove him, go, yo, man, that stuff doesn't play here.
Yeah, it was kind of delayed before they walked over there.
And now you got Russell. They got a gangbang on him. Like, he let him know, like, man, I'm from Long Beach, man. We don't play that. We don't play that at all. And so now we're going to see. But in the words of Russell Westbrook, George Karl, we ain't talking to this bitch ass, man. Find him somewhere else.
Yeah, I'm not real happy about that. My man's trying to sell books. And if you're a marketer, that is not marketing 101, sir. Man. So we're still waiting on George Karl.
I wasn't going to read the book, no way.
Well,
is there any truth? I mean, do you think it's because, like, is there a possibility that the team, the OKC roster, is still kind of split? Like, some of them are still kind of cool with KD, and they don't want to
The way that I've described, Dick, the situation all along was, you had Batman and Robin. You had an unbelievable situation. The only problem you had was Robin wanted to be Batman. And Batman wasn't going anywhere. And then they blew a series that they had complete control of last year against the Golden State Warriors, and you could see it unraveling before our eyes in the last couple games of that series, where they were death staring each other, where they were mumbling at each other, where they just weren't happy, and KD just decided, I can do something about it. But if you look at the roster of the Oklahoma City Thunder, and I've said this over and over to you guys, the deepest team in the NBA, but the reason why they don't get more credit is because they're deep with role players. What they're really missing is a Batman. Or a Robin, as the case may be, if you want Westbrook to be your Batman. Because you don't have it, you take those role players who are trying to get somewhere in their career, and they realize Kevin Durant's probably done some things along the way in the last couple of years when they were teammates to try and forward their progress, to try and help them out, to try and maybe get them either some coin or an endorsement or a little extra work or help in the gym. No one says just because the breakup was public that everybody's got to be on Russ's side because they're still teammates. You still can have friends.
Right, and I think that's really bothering Russell because he didn't like the way he exited, and some people probably side with Russell on the way KD exited. I don't know all the details, but I can see why people would be hesitant. And one player that kind of demonstrated that was Adams, because I remember it was who was talking trash to KD, or maybe I think it was KD.
Oh, it was Enes Kanter was on the bench when KD was on one of the low blocks during a free throw. And they ended up going like really talking.
But Adams
smack.
Was trying to stop it. Adams was trying to, like, Adams wasn't one of the guys that wanted that conflict. Is my point. Like, Adams was like, look, man, just let it go, play basketball, don't worry about it, don't say anything to KD, you know. But there was a couple players that are like, nah, he was our teammate, he shouldn't have left. So I feel like there's one or two players on the roster that kind of wants to side with Russell, but I think there's a few players on the roster that just wants to be neutral. You know,
well, like I said, though, you know, I really
did
do
you
believe
see Russell not dribble the ball, like
travel,
like
took 10 five
feet.
Steps.
That was hilarious.
Five steps. But the crazy part is the ref didn't even notice it until he dribbled the ball. If he would have passed the ball,
he might have got away with it.
He would have got away with it.
Yeah, I did see that.
Yeah,
that's incredible.
Chris, you want to get in here on this Westbrook Durant thing? What's up?
Oh, what's going on? I love y'all show. And I tweet to y'all guys all the time.
Yeah.
But I'm intrigued because the media try to make this a rivalry when it's not, because OKC don't have the talent to compete with the Warriors.
Agreed.
And I'm kind of frustrated they keep trying to put it out there like that.
Well, and you know, the not thing is, too, you know, and here, this is the exact opposite end of the spectrum of the Cavs and Warriors and LeBron saying it's not a rivalry. You met in the last two finals, and game one of the two games between the two teams this year was a classic. So from a national perspective, even if you don't personally want to admit it, that's a rivalry. But I'm totally with you. And like I said, Oklahoma City may be the deepest team in the league, but they're deep with role players. They need more superstar-type talent. They need Kevin Durant and maybe another one. But because you don't have Serge Ibaka anymore, because there's no James Harden coming through that door, and because Kevin Durant walked, I'm with you 100%. The only reason why it's a rivalry is because two guys now don't like each other, and that's a personal beef. That's not a rivalry.
I understand that. So you also mentioned Ibaka and Harden, which lead me to my next question.
Yep.
What would have happened if they didn't trade Harden and they actually re-signed him instead of signing Ibaka to an extension? What would it, do you think Harden would have
they
kept?
Still, eventually, they all would have had to split up, man. There's not enough money to go around for all three of them.
Well, but Chris, what are you talking about what would have happened? Like short-term, long-term? That team made the finals, and it, essentially because they re-upped Ibaka before James, they could only give James so much money. But I oftentimes, and a lot of people have said this, and James was very, very immature at that time, but if you would have made the decision the other way and kept those three together, Westbrook, Durant, and Harden, I'm telling you right now, man.
It wasn't the balls to go around for the three of them.
Well, I'm just telling you right now, I think that team would have won one. There was a lot of talent on that team. So, Chris, we appreciate the call, brother. Don't be a stranger and keep tweeting us. We love that. Before we get to break, I want to tell you about my man Mattress Mack and Gallery Furniture. The greatest place in Houston, Texas to buy furniture, and it's for multiple reasons. One, because you're going to get a good price on quality furniture because everything that Mack sells is American-made. Whether it be Macapita mattresses starting at $19.99, where just right off the top you get an $800 Gallery Furniture gift card, or living room and dining room sets, all American-made, all solid wood, all buy today, get tonight. That's because that's the way they do it at Gallery Furniture. And it's service after the sale. You got a problem with something that happened with the delivery, they'll come back and rectify it and fix it. You got a problem after you buy something because it's not working out the right way, they're going to make sure they take care of it. Why? Because Jim McInvale, Mattress Mack, is Houston-owned and operated, and he has been, and he wants you to be a lifetime customer. Not just a one-time shot in the dark. He wants you to come back for more because he knows that you got a great deal at a great price by people that truly and honestly want to make sure you enjoy the furniture that they sell. They have three locations in the Houston area, Grand Parkway, Highway 99 between Katy and Sugarland. They have Westheimer and Post Oak in the Galleria, and they have the always go-to location that once was a bunch of big top tents and now is one hell of a big showroom and warehouse right there at I-45 North, exit Tidwell Parker. No back quarter slips. You buy today, you get it tonight. Gallery really will save you money.
ESPN 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Travis Johnson, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Joel, Travis, and Nick till 4 o'clock. George Karl's missing in action. Travis is not happy about
it.
I'm rather disturbed by it, too.
You know what? This is the stuff right here. This is why, man, I was never a fan of George Karl in the first place. But I was just trying to do my job.
And well, here's the thing, too. The book's called Furious George. Well, I'm Furious George. I can tell you that because you blew us off. And it annoys me. So I hope there's some apology coming and some rectification. Man, that doesn't even mean he's going to be back on the
air. He can take his apology. He can put it on his middle finger. He can sit on it and spin on it. And then take it out and smell it.
All right. So before the break, we were talking about OKC and Golden State. It's a Western Conference rivalry, so therefore, that concluded the two games in Golden State this year. Kevin Durant has yet to go back to OKC. So, because of the post-game commentary of one Russell Westbrook, easy for me to say, he can have his chance to get back at Jaja because February the 11th on ABC, national TV, front and center for all of us to see, it is Golden State at OKC. See what I did there, Nick?
I did see that.
I did like my whole former job.
You saw how ESPN, that's kind of random, I don't mean to throw you off, but hey, you saw how ESPN picked up the Bucks game last second, so that it's going to be ESPN for the Bucks game and then ESPN again.
Oh, they're doing the Monday night at Milwaukee Bucks game?
No, This past game.
Oh, I know they did the last game. I knew that.
Yeah, so it's two like ESPN games.
Yeah, Rockets are front and center, and then they got Golden State on Friday.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are good. Well, and, little, I, and I've told you this before, and there. You finally met him last night, but my dear friend is there.
By the way, he did not have spiky hair. That's how you described him.
He has blonde, spiky-ish
There's
hair.
There's no spiky hair. Even Dan's like, I don't know what he's thinking. I don't know what he's talking about. I've never had spiky hair.
Okay. Anyway, my boy is their PR guy, and he's a great dude.
He is a cool guy, though.
Yeah, and he likes hockey.
Hockey.
Hockey. So he and Craig Ackerman used to go on off days when we were in Milwaukee, and he would take Craig to go play hockey because they're big fans. Little known fact, Matt Bullard, Craig Ackerman, huge hockey fans. So, yeah, Dan's a great dude. And
so Craig is not originally from here? Is he a local?
Craig's born and raised in Houston. And but he's somehow just a huge become, hockey like, fan? Oh, okay. He plays hockey here. When he goes to Minnesota, he plays pond hockey on frozen ponds.
I've never met him. I see him all the time at the Rockets games, but I would have never guessed that he was from somewhere outside of Houston. That's why when you said he's a hockey fan, I was
and like...
And
every time that we go on air, too... The Craig used to say so-and-so like DJ Augustine, or he would say, you know, Tristan Thompson's from Ontario, Canada. Anyone from Canada has to be a great dude because that's his love of Canadians, hockey, the whole thing. He and Bull, like on a road trip, their ultimate dream is that they have like three nights off and there's a NHL city that has a hockey game in that city for all three
Bull
nights.
Bull as in Matt Bullard?
They're going, oh yeah, Matt Bullard's a huge hockey guy.
Had no idea.
Matt makes more sense because Matt's from Des Moines, Iowa.
Right.
And he's a Midwest guy, and right. So they play hockey. But they actually go out and skate. Now, with Bull's back, you can't have him playing hockey. Craig will play hockey, and I'm telling you, one of the pound for pound, one of the dirtiest athletes I've ever met in my life, no matter what they're playing, Craig Ackerman. Craig Ackerman, and he's strong from the waist down. Craig Ackerman's going to undercut you. He's going to slide a knee into the side of your knee. He's going to leg whip you. He's taking your ass out. I'm just telling you. That's the toughness of Craig Ackerman. I love Craig Ackerman.
I like those type of players.
Yeah.
That's how I roll.
You're absolutely right. Only you are weigh like a buck five wet, and Craig could probably take out an offensive lineman with one of those
leg whips.
No, I'm just telling you, he's strong on the lower half.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, his size is not that big.
So the Rockets got a big one tomorrow night with Golden State. Now, is there going to be a letdown from all of this Thunder talk, which, as admittedly, it wasn't even a game. And to Chris's point when he called in, I mean, it wasn't... Twice this week, I looked forward to watching NBA basketball other than a Rockets game, and I turned on Golden State Cleveland, which was a dog, and then I turned on Golden State OKC, hoping that there would at least be some dramatics and some emotions. And yeah, I mean, the Pachulia thing was eh, but overall, I'm going, it just wasn't.
I hope the
game tomorrow night's a good game because you know that Golden State's going to come in with the red ass knowing that they lost that double overtime game at home to Houston and a lot of people haven't let them forget about it. And now if they really are on a roll and have righted their ship, that would be a way to send a message.
100%.
So it'll be interesting to see. Travis Johnson, you're going to that game, right? Taking the kids?
No. I mean, that's – man, that was – and I told you about this was the one – well, I didn't tell you, Nick. So my kids and my nephews – They
can you do this in a minute?
Yeah, of course. They literally conjured up a scheme for me and Robert to take them to the dang game tomorrow. So my son tells me, Uncle Bear's taking the boys to the game. You have to get the tickets so we can all sit together. Then they tell him, Bear, Uncle Travis taking Deucey to the game. You got to get a ticket. So back on my, it's not registering to me. I'm like, what game are you talking about? And he was like, the Golden State game. I said, man, you know how expensive them dang tickets are going to be? I'm not paying for none of that foolishness. I said, I'll wait till dang Charlotte or one of them fools come in town and buy the tickets for $100 on the floor. I said, what am I taking you that game for? No, Uncle Bear is going. And Bear, basically almost the same day, my wife goes over there and says, hey, brother, you taking the kids to the Golden State game? He says, hell no, not with them expensive tickets. So basically the three boys playing us to try to get us to take them to dang Warriors game.
I'm telling you what, that's smart kids, though, man. And here's the thing. You bring up an interesting point, and it's one that's become a trend in sports, and I'm not a fan of it. The Astros do it when the Yankees and Red Sox come to town. The Rockets do it when the Warriors and Cavs come to town. And other things. They jack the prices way up from the normal price, and I just don't think it's right.
No, it's not. Stick with the price. Now, if somebody buys those tickets early, they buy the tickets early, but stick with the price. I understand if it's the secondary market, but I shouldn't have to call the Rockets and say, hey, can I get some tickets? And they're like, oh, yeah, well, they're going to cost $1,000. For a second, like what? They were just $200 for the second row.
They just won't do it, though. It doesn't make sense for them not to.
I'm going to tell you, like, one of the times I came, this is when LeBron was young, first time in Cleveland, and I paid for it. It might even be his first year in Miami. And I remember paying for courtside seats right there on the
midcourt.
Midcourt. And I'm like, me and my wife, feet on parquet. And LeBron scored like 10 points. I was hot. I said, man, I'm never doing it again.
We don't have parquet floor in Houston.
You know what I'm talking about.
I know what you're talking about. All right, so we can talk about that and the fact that it's a screw job, and you know why they do it? Because they can. We got a lot more to get to. We are a half hour to the end of the show. George Carl has screwed us, so you know what we think about him.
Screw him.
Exactly. And we can get to a lot of things that you want to talk about as we head on down the line. So give us a call, 713-780-ESPN. Hit us up on Twitter. I'm at Pacman Joel. He's at No Hit Nick. He's at TrapJ99. We're here till 4, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Travis Johnson, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Please hammer, don't hurt them. Travis is knee-deep in his own world right now, kicking it to Pumps and Bumps.
Tupac helped write some of these songs on here.
You know, your boy Prime was in Too Legit to Quit.
And Prime was in this song, it was in this video, too.
Yeah. Back in the day.
He was?
Yeah, Prime was
I'm
in this
song. Oh, yeah. I didn't know that.
Pumps and Bumps.
Travis didn't realize just how far back I can go.
Hey, no question, because when I started playing, you was like, Pumps and Bumps, that's Hammer. And I'm like... What you know about Pumps in the Bump?
Oh, I know about all that stuff. Back in my days when I was playing. Okay, so we got some things on Twitter to get to.
Oh, you just want to touch that and just move on?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Jeremy May says, what are the odds the NFL owners approve the Raiders move to Vegas? And you say...
It's going to happen, Jack.
I mean, the one thing that they can do, which I've seen with other leagues when they're talking about a move of a franchise to Vegas, is they can say you can't bet on that team's games in that city.
You probably can't. They're not going to allow you to bet
on
that.
They're not going to close the sports books. No. They're just going to say you can't bet on that game.
No, but the game is... I mean, regardless... Whatever game is going on that week, you can't. They're not going to allow you to bet on it. But I think that's actually a great idea. I think the league wants to because, I mean, quiet as it's kept, the league has been moving into this move for a long time. Mm-hmm. From when they bought the FanDuel to where they sponsored the lotto stuff letting the local lotto places use their image and likeness there, use their 501c3 logos of the NFL shield and the local teams. When they started allowing, gambling and casinos to sponsor teams' practice jerseys, you know, we talk about when you're
well, they're catching up with the real world and realizing that's a huge financial miss if they don't.
Exactly. And I think, you know, it's good and bad, but I think they have to have somebody in that market. I think the Raiders, because they're so, you know, because the Raiders are so worldwide, I think that's why it'll work because, you know, you got so much global stuff happening in Vegas on a regular basis with a bunch of people always coming in. But here's my issue is now, there's going to be two major – I mean, they're not really – I mean, San Diego's not a major city, but it's still a major city. When there's two cities that have had NFL teams for a long time in this league that don't have – that no longer have teams. So my question is, are they preparing to add two new teams to the NFL and be 34 teams?
I think they're always looking for expansion. I think the thing that they can't do that they've always tempted fans to say that they're going to do, it just doesn't seem to ever be feasible. You can't go into Europe. You can't. No. I know you want to play games in London. There's no way travel-wise and jet lag-wise with a full NFL season and the way the schedule's so hectic, you can't have a team playing in London.
No. Not on. Well, it's feasible.
I mean, if transportation changed to where it's quicker, like if they can get on the Concorde and the flight time is cut down, all that stuff.
But I think if they were to give them a team out there in Europe, I think it would probably have to be a team that plays four games at home, four games on the road, four games at home, four games on the road. So by then doing that, you allow them to stay a month.
Month. And their travel budget alone would be.
No, not really. I mean, when you go places,
it's different. The Texans going to play Jacksonville in their division and then saying that. You know, understandably, the Texans would have to go to London once, but the team in London's going to have to make eight trips over the pond, and that's more expensive. But no, than so
here's what I'm saying. You're not making 8 trips over the pond. If you do a month here, a month when they come here that first time, they stay.
That's also a hindrance, though, because now you're away from your family and everything in your home facilities for a month at a time.
But it's a part of the game. I mean, yeah, it's a part of the game. I mean, when I went to San Diego, my family would only come down for home game stretches. So if we had 3-4 games, then the wife would bring all the kids, and she stayed at the condo for a month with the kids. We'd be in a little 2-bedroom condo. But at the same time, you know, when we left to go away, my family went away. So it wasn't like, I know for me and for a lot of guys who don't play in their hometowns or don't play here in Houston, where a lot of guys have made home, then what happens? They pick up and they're away from their families anyway. I think to be honest, I think if the team moved to Europe, most of those guys' families would still stay in the States and be happy when they came home for a month.
Yeah. Well, Nick just came in too, just as you requested. The NBA will be reviewing the Pachulia Westbrook incident in totality because they're saying no fines should be expected for the actual contact on the floor, but based on the commentary after the play in the locker room from Westbrook and others, that they will address it. And I'm pretty sure that has and pertains to the fact that, as I said, there's 2 more games to be played in this season series, and they're both going to be in OKC. So that one, we'll see, remains to be seen in terms of how that's going to unfold. Another interesting basketball story that you got to last night, and you got to witness firsthand, you got to see a basketball game and a wrestling match.
Yeah, yeah.
And go ahead and tell the fans what you witnessed with Big Ralph in the building last night.
Yeah, so the Rockets usually, not all the time, but every once in a while, I don't know what how frequent they do it. Joel, you probably have a better idea. But
well, it's the 50th anniversary season, so their goal is for every home game to honor someone in the Rockets' past, I believe.
So when is your day?
That's a great question. Why don't you call the XXX sweater vest and the Genius GM and see when they can work that out?
We're going to get this worked out.
We should.
So, yeah, they're having a tribute for Ralph Sampson. He autographed the ball. He gave it to the mascot, Clutch. He kicked the ball into the crowd. Obviously, everybody wanted the autographed basketball, and it led to a fight. Led to a ripped shirt. Led to beer being spilled. A guy tried to, I could see him from the distance from where I was sitting on the media table. He was trying to make an exit, and he just walked up the stairs. He looked pretty angry with the basketball in his hand and the ripped shirt, but he did eventually get stopped. And
didn't you say he took the ball from a kid?
I was going to say that. But
from a distance, it's so hard. You have to realize that from where I'm sitting on the media table to wherever that, it was behind the backboard. So I don't know which section that would be, Joel.
Okay.
But
it's 101 through like 104.
Something like that. So it's kind of far. But you could tell there was some parent or there was kind of a family that was kind of
upset. Now, this goes back to the whole Astros thing. Remember when the lady took the ball from the kid and it was like national news?
Yep.
And it was just a huge story. And that happened years ago. And every now and then that'll resurface on the internet during baseball season like it just happened that night at midnight. Yeah. But that's something that should be called out. If you're going to go and take a ball from a kid.
And we're not sure that it is. It just looked like it from a distance.
And I agree with that. I get that. But I'm just saying, if that's your idea of I gotcha, then you belong in a cab in Galveston. Right?
Yeah, no question.
Oh, no question.
I laugh because like they don't like them stuff. Don't that stuff doesn't mean anything. Like a foul ball and people fighting over a foul ball. Like there's no cultural significance to this foul ball. You know, I know the couple times that I've caught one. I literally give it to the kid, toss the kid next to me. My son is literally like, "Daddy, why you didn't give it to me?" And I had to tell him one time, like, "Didn't Albert Pujols give you a ball before the game? Like, didn't he sit there and play catch? Didn't George Springer play catch with you before the game?"
That's because not many kids get to live the glorified life of Travis Johnson.
But the thing is, it's like. And I remember.
So let me ask you this, but to Nick's point too earlier about collector's items and things like that. But from your career, did you collect and save memorabilia?
No, just of guys I played with. I mean, guys I played with, and I think guys I played with. I got a lot of memorabilia in my house, but it's stuff that I bought at certain functions or stuff that was given to me when I did shows with some of those guys. Mm-hmm. I mean, because Muhammad Ali stuff, the Big Red Machine stuff. You know, I was never big on. I mean, I'm big on the history of the game, so I get stuff that got cultural significance. You know,
but just not foul balls.
Yeah, no, I mean not the foul balls. You know, because I've been when I go to games, like when I've taken the kids down there, Yeah. Everybody's always so gracious with my children, you know, because, you know, they say, hey, Trey, how you doing? You know, from George Springer to all the guys, you know, especially when Bo was the manager there. They always were wonderful with me.
You played high school, as my man in Miami.
Oh, yeah, Lord Jesus. Mike Stanton, yes, of course.
No, Giancarlo.
Yeah, John, well, we call him Mike.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Hey, Arthur wants to chime in, Nick, on the fight at the game last night. Arthur, what's up? Arthur.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, man. Give us the lowdown. What's up?
I was actually at the game last night for my 40th birthday. I was just above where that fight broke out.
Okay, happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Thanks. And, yeah, it looked like the ball came up. The kid tried to grab it. It looked like he jammed his fingers. It bounced off of him. And the other dude kind of swiped it away from him, and it was, I think, the dad who was trying to wrestle it back for the kid. And, yeah, it got pretty ugly. Shirt got ripped, but I think they finally got it back and made sure the kid got it. So.
Well, that's the good thing. As long as the kid ended up with the ball.
There was a kid involved.
Yeah, that would be important, because that would be one that I'd go to the Rockets and go, you got to make this right, because the kid's the one that's getting the screw job.
No question. You know, it's funny. My first home game here in Houston, we played, played Philly. I can't remember who it was.
Go ahead.
Matter of fact, we played Pittsburgh. Okay. And Dominique Davis scores a touchdown. Mm-hmm. Last name Williams now, Dominique Williams.
Right, 23.
But he scores a touchdown, and he hands the ball to my mother. He gives my mother football. This random guy is literally over the top of my mom trying to steal the football away from her until my daddy had to, you know, let that dang sonic boom of a voice out and be like, man, if you don't get your hands off my wife, it's going to be a problem.
No doubt.
You know what I mean? So,
that's just people being stupid. I mean, that's why I said, and you know, I've always said to Lisa when we go to games and things like that too, that people are going to dive on the concrete and ruin expensive clothing. And, you know, I see them on TV too, where the guy goes and spends like $25-$30 on all this food and drink. But the minute the ball comes, he's dumping all that on the damn floor trying to get a $10 baseball.
Never. Not me.
Well,
not, hey.
We'll see.
I know my wife is going to chat about the last foul ball I missed, but it's okay.
Yeah, that'd be a good story to get to, too. Uh-huh. We got one segment left to go. It's been a pretty darn good show, even without George Carl, because we don't need you. 1-4 every single day right here, ESPN 97.5.
This is DeAndre Hopkins, wide receiver for the Houston Texans, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Travis Johnson, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Joel, Travis, and Nick till 4 o'clock. I did fail to mention something I was going to mention to you guys earlier, especially you, Trap, because of the fact that we've talked so much about your old team, the San Diego Chargers, moving to L.A., but I don't know if you guys caught this or not, but yesterday they had a welcome to L.A. press conference with the Chargers and Mr. Spanos, the owner. There was a dude that double-rotted him the entire time and was screaming at the top of his lungs until he was removed. That disrupted the entire press conference. So to Travis and Keenan's point, people in L.A. are not going to be all that receptive and friendly to the Chargers
but
coming.
It probably was a San Diego fan.
Well, for whatever reason, and my wife will say the same thing too. I mean, there's a whole kind of a line in the sand between San Diego and L.A. in a lot of ways, and there's going to be a fan base, and especially with the Raiders until they move or if they move, and then with the Rams. And then the thing that's still perplexing to me is this 27,000-seat soccer stadium they're going to play NFL football in.
That's going to be hilarious.
And it's got to be only be for 1 year, right?
Yeah, it's only going to be for 1 year because Inglewood Stadium.
Crockett and then they're going to share. They're going to have their own stadium. Or they're going to share with
they're
the Rams.
They're going to share with the Rams.
That's ridiculous. But they did something similar. Did they not? Did they use the Coliseum that way for a while?
Yeah, the Coliseum was always. I mean, the Coliseum for a while was
Raiders Rams.
Was Raiders Rams,
yep.
And then, but not to mention that it was Raiders Rams Trojans.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So
because you always have to make room for Trojan man.
Trojan, of course. And matter of fact, when the Chargers came around, when the Chargers first were incepted, no, they were at the, I think they were at the fairgrounds thing. So, yeah, they weren't in the Coliseum.
See this also? The Seahawks may lose a second-round draft pick for not disclosing reporting Richard Sherman's injury. I mean, that's kind of a That's a Belichick-y thing to do, but at the same time, the dude still played.
Exactly. I don't have to disclose something if the player's like, nah, I'm not hurt.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of a – look, that's a sticky situation, that one right there. Early lines coming in on Packers, Falcons, and Patriots.
Falcons?
Yeah. Well, I hate people that call them the Falcons, just like I hate people that call them the Jaguars. There's no wire involved. It's an animal. It's a jaguar.
But they're not the Falcons. They're the Falcons.
Falcons. That's what you want to call them, the Falcons?
Yeah.
Okay. Fine.
So you gonna call it the Jaguars?
You of all people criticizing anything in the way I pronunciate, based on the fact that when you put the syllables where they're supposed to
be, syllables.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, you can get it rolling. Who in a hurry? Okay. So you want to? Have you seen the early lines
Of the game? No, I haven't. Please inform me.
Nick, have you seen the early lines?
I have not. I can look it up though.
Yeah, and I'm looking it up as well.
You know, I was on a diet, man. I think I'm going to screw it, man. I'm going to get drunk tonight. But go ahead. Give me the lines.
Thanks for doing that. The opening line for Green Bay, Atlanta was given 6. Now they're given 4.5.
Green Bay, Atlanta was given 6. Now they're given 4.
Packers are getting 4.5 in Atlanta.
That's really like a 6-point swing.
Don't let us get in the way of your nap. And then the Patriots at home giving 6 to the Steelers.
Is that a giving 6 to the Steelers?
I think that's a lot of points.
So the Patriots got to beat the Steelers by 6?
By 7.
By 7. I'm taking that bet.
You taking Pittsburgh?
I'm taking Pittsburgh to win.
I did too. I picked at the start of the year. I picked Green Bay and Pittsburgh.
How does that sound? Does that sound
I can't tell
weird?
Because I'm in the studio with you. Nick can tell you just how ridiculous you look and probably sound.
How does that sound, Nick?
Right now, Travis has the microphone to his Adam's apple because sometimes when you have the attention span of a small child, it's hard to reel him in on a regular basis.
I didn't take my Adderall today, so yeah, I'm a little off.
That's on the banned substance list, Travis.
Well, I've been approved to take Adderall. I was actually a case study for Adderall when I was
Were you really?
Kid. Yes, yeah. I was.
And now he's on the banned list every day here, so it doesn't matter.
Hey.
Okay, so
just like
I'm
we're
going to
ban George Carl. I hope you blocked his number and tell the intern if he calls in here, send him to the same place we send Rob Galveston in the cab.
Roberto.
Bye, Felicia.
Bye, yeah. Felicia.
Yeah, so I at the start of the year, I picked Pittsburgh Green Bay with a Green Bay win. So I'm still alive. So I would take that Pittsburgh side.
I think it's going to be a rematch of 2011 Super Bowl.
Ironically, in the state of Texas.
In the state of Texas, no question. That's
at Big
that's
D.
Funny.
I was there.
So was I. Yeah, that's great.
That's right. We both were.
Snowed a lot that week.
I don't know. Yeah, it did. And that brought ticket prices down, just like the Cowboys getting bounced did here.
But then you remember all the people who couldn't get in because of the seating gate?
I capitalized on some pretty good ticket opportunities that week because of the weather.
That's great.
Yeah, but that's right. Remember the NFL created all those extra sections
because
and then the people couldn't get in the game.
Because they couldn't get in the game.
So they had to promise them the next year that they would get a meet and greet. And I think they got a meet and greet with the Packers on the field after the game. And then the following year they got Super Bowl tickets because that section got screwed up.
Because it wasn't finishing time, I don't think.
Well, there were safety concerns, so they wouldn't let them sit there.
Because they put standing-only seats where it used to be. See, the thing is, they have, and I don't know if they have them here in Houston, but in Dallas, the place is so big, you can actually buy standing room.
Yeah, in the corners and all the little ledges. And
exactly. You can buy those.
Salisbury made an interesting point to me about that Packer-Falcon game. He said it might be one of the only games in the history of the NFL with 1,000 yards of total offense.
That's a true statement.
It is, isn't it? When you talk about Ryan and Rodgers and offense and all the weapons and all that stuff, and you know, obviously Ryan's going to be the MVP. I think we all can agree. And the hot guy is.
Well, I don't know. If we can all agree. I mean, he did make the All-Pro team, but
you don't think he's going to win it?
I'm a Packer fan,
and I'm telling you, he's going to win it.
I don't know, man.
We shall see. All right, we've made it through another one. I'm bringing lunch tomorrow for the station, so that should be good. So we're all going to be here. Okay, right.
That's great.
I've learned my lesson. I'm not promoting anything until it actually shows up, George Carl. So tomorrow, hopefully, there'll be lunch and a full show. Travis is back. We don't know if Mr. McCardell will be joining us or not because he was supposed to be here today, and he mysteriously disappeared, although he did text me. We'll see if his return engagement will allow him to join us or not. And by the way, if George Carl decides to join us, we're not going to allow him to come in.
We're going
to
block
him. That's exactly what we're going to do. You're blocked like Dikembe Mutombo.
No, no, no.
There you
Who
have it.
Who wants sex, Mutombo?
I didn't say that. Anyway, the Blitz is next. ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.